This is Cassie Lang and the adventures in befriending 100-year-old super soldiers. A Captain America movieverse, Ant-Man movieverse fanfic, written by Nox Lunate and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and is gen, although it does contain the pairing of James Bucky Barnes, Steve Rogers, with additional tags for Scott Lang POV, fluff, friendship, age regression, de-aging. This story is the sequel to Clint Barton and the Adventures in Terror Twin Rearing. You can find a podfic of that by Quiet Night. Cassandra Eleanor Lang is 11. And a half, she would insist. And one day, she's gonna be a goddamn superhero. Scott would really rather she didn't go off trying to save the world one day, but he has already felt the inevitability of it. His kid's already started asking about being his partner, and now Steve freaking Rogers is suddenly 10 years old, and he and Bucky Barnes, who is also suddenly a child, Jesus, are in need of a playmate. There's no way she's going to come out of playing with Captain America himself without it strengthening the kid's resolve to one day save the world, and it's not like he can just not let her go play with them. Scott might not be able to help take care of the poor kids, but he can at least let his daughter have a playdate or two with them, so they aren't stuck in an apartment with just Clint for company. You got everything you need, Peanut? Yep, Cassie chirps, shoving one last thing into a backpack and moving to wait by the door, practically vibrating with excitement. Scott watches carefully as Cassie and the newly de-aged pair of super soldiers interact. It's going good. Of course it's going good. Cassie's a good kid. Hell, Cassie's the best kid. You don't look like the Newsies, Cassie says. And Scott fights the urge to audibly groan. Huh? Steve asks. At the same time, Bucky says, I ain't a Newsie. No, like the movie. Cassie, Scott warns, hoping it's somehow a reminder that Steve and Bucky aren't going to know everything she knows. Hell, normal kids probably don't know everything Cassie knows. 2 years of house arrest for Scott had involved a lot of movies. Oh yeah, you didn't have movies way back forever ago, Cassie says, and before either boy can get a word in edgewise to argue that they, in fact, did have movies, she's leading them across the living room to presumably show them the magic of the Newsies. 3 days later, Scott gets a video chat from Cassie. Can I go to Steve and Bucky's? Mom says you're allowed to take me. Does your Uncle Clint know you're coming? Scott asks. Because he's learned in 11 years of parenting that oftentimes the other adult in the situation does not, in fact, know that they're about to have another child in their home. Cassie proves him correct when she shrugs and says, I don't know, Steve texts is saying I should come over. Steve texts? Because the adult Steve Rogers absolutely doesn't text. No, the adult Steve Rogers is a giant asshole who calls people when they text him. We have a group chat. Of course they do. Freaking 11-year-olds these days. Clint, of course, doesn't know. But that would probably be because Clint isn't there. And instead, Scott is greeted by the sight of Kate answering the door, and beyond that, America, Steve, and Bucky furiously playing some sort of video game. Is that appropriate for kids? Scott asks, at the sound of repeated gunshots and 10-year-old Steve Rogers shouting, Take that! Probably not, Kate answers, opening the door wider so that Cassie can slip past and squeeze onto the couch next to them, snagging the controller that Bucky holds out to her. Okay, then. I'll be back to get her by dinner. Sounds good, Mr. Lang. We'll send her home hopped up on pizza and soda. I ask for nothing less. This seems to break some sort of seal. And for the entirety of the time Steve and Bucky are stuck as their younger selves, Scott is also stuck making several weekly trips to the Barton residence so that Cassie can spend time with her new friends. The thought that Cassie is getting so attached to kids who will eventually turn back into their superheroing adult selves is a little worrying. But Scott tries to convince himself that it's no different than being friends with someone who ends up moving. She'll be fine. Cassie's a tough nut. And if she isn't, well, Scott's always going to be there to try to make it fine. When Steve and Bucky are turned back into their normal selves, there is a special kind of pain that comes from hearing Cassie's soft, disappointed, "Oh, they're big again." She doesn't cry like people might expect from a kid who just lost two of their newest friends, but Scott still wants to wrap her up and shield her from the hurt he can hear in her voice. So that's exactly what he attempts to do. He ropes Cassie into building a blanket fort around the TV, and then, once they're settled on the floor with Cassie curled into Scott's side, he lets her queue up whatever she wants on Netflix. Two hours into Scott's emergency father-daughter snuggle session, there's a knock on the door and the arrival of Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes, both in their full-sized glory. Scott's been doing this superhero gig for a while now. He'd think the sight of Captain America would get at least a little bit less impressive. Scott says. Steve echoes. "I told you this would be weird," Bucky says, shoving his elbow into Steve's side. "We just came to see Cassie," Steve blurts, and Scott nods, stepping aside to let the two seriously massive, like, what the hell, superheroes into his house. It's cool. It's fine. 2 years of house arrest for the dudes, and they go and befriend his daughter instead. The look on Cassie's face means that's not even sarcasm. "We brought board games," Bucky says, waving a bag enticingly. Within an hour, Scott's blanket fort has been overtaken by his daughter and two overgrown super soldiers. Pizza has been delivered, ice cream is being eaten, and a rousing game of Clue has been followed up by Cassie regaling Captain America and the Winter Soldier with demonstrations of the close-up magic Scott's tried to teach her and stories about how she accidentally kicked the ball into somebody's face at soccer the previous weekend. Bucky and Steve seem suitably impressed. A few weeks later, Steve and Bucky show up at Cassie's soccer game. Maggie gives Captain America a nice, slow look up and down. Is that? She doesn't specify what that is, but the "Holy shit, is that Captain America at our daughter's soccer game?" doesn't particularly need to be said for Scott to hear it. "Yep," Scott says, taking in the sight of Steve and Bucky in all their glory. They're carrying glitter-covered signs that Cassie had helped them make in Scott's living room the night before, and between that, their general giant-esque forms, and their team jerseys, they look a little more like they're attending a legitimate professional sports team's game instead of a girls' youth soccer game. Cassie will be thrilled. Cassie is, in fact, thrilled. Though, much to Scott's delight, not so thrilled that she bypasses Scott entirely after the game ends. He gets his normal experience of his daughter turning herself into a projectile and launching herself at Scott with what is apparently full faith that Scott will catch her. Scott does, spinning and swinging her around a couple of times as Cassie shouts in his ear, "Did you see? Daddy, did you see?" "I did. You shot, you scored, the crowd went wild. Scott even does a nice little crowd roaring imitation to complete the effect. And then his spider monkey of a child is off of him and using Bucky Barnes as a human jungle gym. I made the winning goal. I bet I could beat you both at soccer, she says, using Bucky's arm to hang off of him, her feet pressed into the side of his leg. Bucky is tolerating it with the sort of patience that only comes from fondness and experience. And Scott is reminded of the fact that he's pretty sure he read somewhere that the dude had sisters. I bet you could, Steve agrees amicably. We'd beat you at stickball, though. That's because nobody plays stickball now. I've told you that, Cassie says, with a deep, long-suffering sigh. Scott's pretty sure seeing his 11-year-old daughter treat Captain America like he's refusing to understand something painfully obvious will never, ever get old. We watched a video with you in it in school today, Cassie tells Steve nonchalantly, over a game of poker at Scott's kitchen table. The goddamn Winter Soldier is teaching Scott's daughter to be a card shark, and Scott doesn't have the will to stop it. Steve groans and thumps his head forward while Cassie takes a moment to sneak a peek at Steve's cards. If Steve notices, he has the grace to pretend he doesn't. Wait, Barnes says. You watch videos of Rogers here at school? He asks. Like, this is something so unbelievable that Cassie must be lying. Mm-hmm. Cassie hums an affirmative, making a face at her card that Scott knows is a very fake look of displeasure, but that he sure could fool even the savviest of people. Rapping with Cap. How? Bucky starts, setting his cards on the table with a flourish. Have I never heard about this?
Because I knew it'd go like this,
Steve mutters, as Bucky Barnes proceeds to insist on Cassie showing him exactly what the hell she is talking about. The two of them end up crouched over Cassie's phone, the poker game abandoned, and the dulcet tones of Captain America telling sixth graders about your body and you, playing over the tinny speakers. Steve is slowly shrinking further and further into his chair, while Bucky is not so slowly dissolving into hysterical laughter. This might be one of the best things Scott's ever had a chance to witness. There comes a moment, over a year after Steve and Bucky are turned into children and have gone about befriending Scott's preteen daughter, that Scott gets to realize just how ride or die his daughter has made 200-year-old men. Mom and Jim are sick, Cassie says from the screen of Scott's phone. Scott and a substantial chunk of the Avengers have been doing that whole saving the world thing, and Scott had been looking forward to roughly 18 hours passed out on the Rogers Barnes couch, purely because it was the closest safe horizontal space. That's awful, Peanut. Tell them I hope they get better soon, Scott says, already half asleep on his feet, as Steve Rogers himself shoves Scott towards his couch and then throws a blanket at his head. If Scott's going to be saving the world in New York this often, he really just needs to break down and get himself a place in the city. The other city. New York City. God, he's tired. That's not the problem, Cassie says, though Scott can hear the sound of what sounds like Maggie coughing up her lungs in the background, so Scott's pretty sure that's a problem. I have a field trip tomorrow, and they were supposed to chaperone. We can do it, Bucky says, from where he's doing what Scott honestly suspects is a ritual checkover of increasingly ridiculous security measures around the house. Which is how Steve Rogers and Bucky Barnes end up voluntarily taking 35 12-year-olds on a sailboat excursion while Scott sleeps off helping save the world. Scott, were he a little less exhausted, would be a little impressed by the willingness to experience torture by 12-year-olds that his daughter inspires in people. God, she's gonna be a great superhero one day. Scott just hopes that she waits at least a few years, maybe gets through college first, and saves him and Captain America and the Winter Soldier a damn heart attack. The end. Reader's notes. Immediately pre, okay, not immediately, like a month pre-Endgame, my roommate and myself spent, you know, that entire time doing a massive MCU rewatch and also watch for some of the things we hadn't seen previously. And I hadn't seen all of Ant-Man or any of Ant-Man and Wasp. And one of the things I came away loving about that is the strong, how much Scott as a parent is important to who he is. And yeah, the Scott and Cassie, like, healthy parental relationship there was just so, such a joy. So this fic with the extra, like, Scott's just, you can tell how much he loves his kid. Anyway, thank you to Nox Lunate for having blanket permission to podfic. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this, and have a nice day.